Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, which was our second scripture reading. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And our subject this morning is being still before the Lord. Well, we consider these wonderful words that are found in this very wonderful psalm, Psalm 46, which is, as I'm sure some of you will know, a psalm that is very well known for being a psalm of great comfort, a psalm that has been a precious treasure to countless believers throughout the ages. The great reformer Martin Luther, whenever he was troubled and in a difficult and distressing situation, he would always say to his friends, "Come, let us sing the 46th psalm," because he knew that when you read this psalm or when you sang this psalm, all our fears are lifted, our burdens are lifted, we are comforted by the words of this psalm and by this great reminder of the greatness of our God. So this is what he would say whenever anybody would come to him or whenever he himself was downcast and heavy laden. He would say, "Let us sing the 46th psalm." In fact, he wrote a hymn based on this psalm. You will know it, some of you, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," is based on the 46th psalm. So if you don't know this psalm, I would strongly recommend that you familiarize yourself with it, memorize it if you can, if you're inclined to do so. This is a psalm that is very memorable. And this particular verse that we are going to look at this morning is, of course, very memorable and very cherished by believers. Verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." And there is much in these words. It's only a few words, "Be still and know that I am God." But there is much in it for us to encourage ourselves in the Lord as we think upon these words. And also, of course, to examine ourselves. This is the gospel service, the evangelistic service. We examine ourselves to determine whether we do know this Lord, whether we do know this God who is at the heart of this psalm. "Be still and know that I am God." The question is, do I know this God? Do you know this God? There are many here who do, but there are no doubt some here who don't, or at least they don't know the Lord in the right way. So as we consider these words, we will seek to answer these questions also together. So may the Lord bless us as we consider this wonderful verse, "Be still and know that I am God." So first of all, in this verse, there is an instruction. In this verse, there is an instruction, an exhortation, you could say. And what is the instruction? Well, it is very clearly to be still. To be still, or you could put it another way, you could say to be at peace. Be still. That's one of the senses, that's one of the applications we can make from these words. Be still. Be at peace and know that I am God. This is why a Christian is at peace. Why? Because he knows that God is in charge of everything. This is the teaching of Scripture. God is in charge, God is in control, God is ruling over everything. Everything that comes to pass in the world, in our lives, God is ruling over it. And so there is nothing for us to fear or to be anxious about, because we know that God is good, and everything that God does is good. And God is so kind and just and holy. He will never do anything malicious or harmful. So if God is in control of everything, well, then why do we need to fear? We don't need to fear, even if the worst things come upon us. And we see this in this psalm. The beginning of this psalm talks, well, almost literally about how the world is falling apart around us. We read verse 1, of course, those words of comfort. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And verse 2, look at these words. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. What is that a picture of? It's a picture of the world falling apart. If the earth be removed, a great earthquake, the mountains that have been there for centuries, millennia, if they're carried off, if the world literally falls apart, do not fear. Have peace. Be still. And this is, well, this is a great comfort of the Christian life, isn't it? The Christian life does not promise that there'll be nothing difficult in your life. That's not the Christian message. Come to God and nothing difficult will ever happen to you. That's not the Christian message. The Christian message is, even if the worst happens to you, you can still have peace. You can still have peace. And isn't this one of our great witnesses as Christian people? I've heard Christians who will say that their friends were amazed. Their unbelieving friends around them in work, in their family circles, are amazed when they show such peace. When everybody else in the workplace is panicked and stressing, they are at peace. And people will say, why are you at peace? People are amazed when Christians will fall into great tragedies and calamities, but they're not broken. They're not broken into pieces like the rest of the world. They are at peace. And so this is what these words are conveying. Be still and know that I am God. You don't need to fear anything at all. Even if the world were to crumble around you, even if there is war, even if there is sickness in your life, just be still and know that I am God. God is with you. He will carry you through it. So you don't need to fear whatever happens to you. This is a wonderful truth, isn't it? A wonderful comfort. Be still and know that I am God. We can be at peace even in the worst of times. An unbeliever, of course, is never at peace. And I've already mentioned this really. But you could say this generally of the human race, the fallen human race. The human race is fallen by nature, and a great characteristic of our fallen human race is that it is never at peace. And I'm not just speaking about all the wars that have plagued human history, but what I mean is man by his nature is restless. Man is restless. Man by his nature is restless. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean man can never be still. The Lord is saying, be still. Man can never really be still. He must always be doing something. He must always be busy. He must always be rushing from one thing to the next, from one task to the next, from one place to visit, from even leisure things. You know people sometimes, or you meet people who, they don't stop. They're always doing something. They're working from one thing to the next, then they're going on holiday. They never stop. And the world encourages this. So much the world has to offer, this experience, that experience, do this, do that. Mankind, well, he is restless. And one of the reasons why that is, it's not a good reason. One of the reasons why that is because if man stops, well, then he has to start thinking, why is he doing all of these things? Why is he running about like a lunatic, working so hard and doing all these things that we have to do? What is the point? What is the meaning of all of these things? They don't want to stop and think about that. Just keep doing. I know people like this. When I was at work in media, they would never stop because they don't want to think, why am I doing all of this? They don't want to consider maybe all of this is meaningless and I'm spending all my strength for nothing at all. They don't actually want to be still and think about those things. No, just keep doing things. Don't think about while you're doing them. Just do them and don't stop. That's one of Satan's ploys, by the way. Satan wants you to keep doing things and never think about why you're doing them. I remember a preacher, he said that busy, the word busy is an acronym for being under Satan's yoke. B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke, busy, because Satan does not want you to stop and think about why you are doing something. He just wants you to keep busy. Don't think about anything. Just follow the crowd. Everyone else is busy. That being under Satan's yoke. Dear friends, you have to be still and think. If there are any unbelievers here, dear friends, why are you doing, what is the point of your life? This is why people don't want to come to church. Because in church, you have to be still and think about the meaning of your life. People don't want to do that. I'm too busy to come to church. I'm too busy to think about spiritual things. That's exactly how Satan likes it. To be busy. But the Lord is saying, be still and know that I am God. There's a God. Just stop for a while. Don't keep rushing after earthly things. Be still and know that I am God. There is a God who is ruling over all things. The God to whom you owe everything, your life, your health, your breath, the reason you're alive. It's because of God. Anything could have happened to you in your life. God has preserved you. God has given you everything that you have, your family, your wealth, your possessions, all of these things. Do you ever stop to think of that? Are you ever still and you give God thanks and praise and worship? Or do you just keep going along with the crowd, with the rest of the world? I have to do this, this and this. Never stopping to think about the one to whom you owe everything. Dear friends, this is what the Lord is saying here. This is another way you can apply it. Be still and know that I am God. Don't just live for this world. Think of God. Think of spiritual things. Think of eternal things. But furthermore, we can say, be still, and this is probably closer to the actual Hebrew meaning of the word. To be still and know that I am God actually means to submit. Submit. Don't resist. I remember, let me just give you an illustration to help you perhaps understand this. I remember when I was a child and I had to go to the hospital for some time. And during that time, I had to have a number of injections, which I hated. And if the nurse would approach me with a needle, I would always resist. I would always struggle. I'd never be still. I would refuse to receive the injection, to receive the medication, and she'd have to get two or three people to come and hold me down. But this is the sense. We have to submit. I would never submit. I would never be still and receive what I was supposed to receive. God is saying, submit. Submit. Turn away from your unbelief. Turn away from your atheism. Be still, submit, and know that I am God. So it's not enough just to know there is a God, although, of course, everybody knows there is a God. Let me just say this point. Even the atheists know that there is a God. They will tell you they don't believe in God. But everybody knows that there is a God. What the atheists do, and they're very good at this, they are very good at suppressing their knowledge of God. They suppress that knowledge. That is what the Apostle Paul said, didn't he? Everybody knows deep down that there is a God, but how well do you suppress it? The atheists do it very well. And they have their defenses. They have a million objections when you try to talk to them about God. They have a million questions, a million objections why they don't believe in God. And as soon as you've answered one, they've got another one. Then you answer that one, then they've got another one. A million objections, a million questions. They've built up their defenses because they know that there actually is a God. You don't defend yourself against a God that isn't real. Of course you don't. That's foolishness. You only defend yourself against a God that is very real. a God that has almighty power. That's why people defend themselves so much against a God who is real, not a fictional God. They wouldn't bother. Dear friends, everybody knows that there is a God, but you must submit yourself to that God. This is what these words are saying. Submit yourself, be still. The Hebrew, again, you could say, the Lord is saying, enough, enough, enough of your objections, enough of your excuses why you won't come to the Lord. Be still and submit yourself to him. Know that I am God. Dear friends, are you fighting against God? Is there anyone here fighting against God? Be still, the Lord is saying. Be still. It's so hard to fight against God. It's so hard to constantly hear the message of the gospel and to constantly, repeatedly ignore your conscience and harden your heart. That is so hard. Why are you doing this? Be still. Submit to the Lord. Why are you fighting against God? And of course, I always say this, are you fighting against God? You do realize this is a fight you cannot win. You can't fight against God and win. One day you will have to submit. You will have to be still and know that the Lord is God. So it is utterly futile to resist the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Dear friends, these things are very important. We must know God. And well, of course, to know God, we must know Christ. Christ, who is God. Do we understand that Christ is God, the second person of the triune Godhead? Many people will deny this. I hope there's nobody here. I'm sure there isn't, but I may be wrong, who deny that Christ is God. Be still and know that I am God. This is what the Lord Jesus said. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a preacher, just a miracle worker. He wasn't just a good man, a good example for us to follow. Dear friends, you have to know that he is God. Submit to that. Be still and know that Christ is God, the incarnate God, the one who came down from heaven to earth, took upon himself a body. He was the fulfillment of prophecy. The prophecy of Christ. What was his title? Emmanuel, God with us. Not just a prophet, not just a miracle worker, God with us, Emmanuel. Be still and know that he is God. When he was on earth, of course, he showed that almighty power. He had power even over the weather, even over the wind and the waves. He said, remember, well, words that are very similar. There was a great storm, a fierce storm on the Sea of Galilee. What did the Lord say? Be still. Peace, be still. Just as the Lord is saying here, be still and know that I am God. We have to be still and know that Christ is God. I and the Father are one. That's what he said. We can see Christ even in these words. Be still and know that I am God. So we don't resist this teaching, of course not. We acknowledge that Christ is God. And as I've already said, well, if one day everybody will acknowledge this. Look at those words in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Well, you can say that about Christ. Christ will return one day. And when he returns, he will be exalted in the earth among the heathen. In other words, all the other gods, the heathen gods, the pagan religions will be nothing. They will have to confess that Christ is God. Dear friends, that's what it will be like. This is why it's futile to submit. All the other religions, all the other faith systems, when Christ returns, it will be Christ who is exalted. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Christ is Lord. Dear friends, we have to think of that day. There'll be no other religion. It's Christ who will be exalted among the heathen. Everything else will be still before him. Do you know him? Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Are you saved? Dear friends, we're running out of time. I have to come to the gospel application. Are you saved? Are you right with God? Now, what does it take to be right with God? Do you have the right understanding of this? This is most important. So many people, again, this is all the other religions. All the other religions will say to you that the way to be right with God is through one's own works, through the good things that I do. That's their belief. It's a mistaken belief, but many people have it. They will say, if I do enough good things, if I'm religious enough, if I pray enough, if I fast enough, if I go on a pilgrimage perhaps, well, then surely God will accept me. It's about my works. It's about my good works, isn't it? No, dear friends. That's not how it works. That's not what makes you right with God. And very simply, it's because of this. Well, yes, you may have done some good works in your life. We've all done good things, but we've all done bad things also. We have all sinned against God. So you cannot bring your good works to God because of all the things that you've done wrong, all of your sins, all of the times that you've lied, all the times that you've stolen, all the times you've lusted, all of your pride. That's contaminated all of your good works. Yes, you've got your good works, but they're all spoiled by all the bad things that you've done, all your sins, all your lies, and so on. God is not going to accept contaminated works. He's not going to accept spoiled works. He's a holy God. He has to accept that which is spotless and pure. He's not going to accept your works. All the other religions, dear friends, are wrong. It is only by grace we are saved freely. If we are to be right with God, we have to be still, in other words. You have to cease from your works, cease trying to be good, and receive the salvation of the Lord. Now, I mentioned Martin Luther earlier. He's a very, very good example. That Roman Catholic monk lived in the 1500s. Some of you will know his testimony very well. He was a monk and he wanted to be right with God by his own works, because naturally that's what people think. If I'm good enough, God will accept me. And yet, what happened? He tried to be good. He tried to be as holy as he could be. He would sleep outside in the cold because he thought that would make him holy. He would scourge himself, beat himself, because he thought that would make himself holy. And yet, all he felt was more and more of his sin, until one day the Lord spoke to him through his word. And you know what he said? Well, really, in effect, he said this: Martin Luther, be still. Stop chastising yourself. Stop trying to earn salvation. Don't you know? Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Just believe. Just come and confess your sin and you will be saved. And that's what he did. Be still, Martin. That's what we all have to do. Cease from our works and trust wholly in Christ. Christ is our righteousness, dear friends. He is the only one who has lived a perfect life. You could never do it, but Christ has done it. And when we have faith in Christ, his righteousness, his perfect life, becomes our righteousness. This is what happens. Christ, who lived a righteous life, he gives us his righteousness. And we, what do? We give him our sins. And he took the punishment for our sins on the cross. We swapped places, a substitute. That's what we do. You've seen the World Cup. That's what a substitute. They swap places. Christ gives us his righteousness. And he takes our sins. He takes our place on the cross. And he suffers and dies for us. Dear friends, this is the only way that we can be saved. Not by our works. You have to be still. You have to go before the Lord, confess your sin, trust in Christ, trust in his work, his finished work. That work that will be accepted. Again, I've met people in other religions. They never have any assurance. They're trying to work their way to be right with God. But they're always saying, but how can I be sure? Have I done enough? Have I done enough good works that will get me to heaven? They never have any assurance. But dear friends, we have assurance in Christ. His is a finished work. A finished work, so you can rest in him. Be still and know that I am God. Dear friends, we're almost entirely out of time, but let me close by making this application. Be still means permanence. Permanence. Now, I'm thinking more of the English meaning of the word still. This isn't really in the Hebrew, but when we say still in English, that word still implies permanence. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, if I take myself just for an example, it's almost exactly 20 years ago since I was saved, since I was converted, since I became a Christian, almost exactly 20 years ago. And I know that there are some people, some of my friends at the time, they are very surprised that I am still a Christian. I'm still a Christian. And you see, this is at least in part what these words mean. When you come to Christ, it is a permanent thing. It's not a phase that you go through. It's not something you do just for a few years and then you go and do something else. When you truly know the Lord, when you're a true Christian, it's permanent. You always will be. No matter what happens, even if the world falls apart around you, as I've already mentioned, even if you sin, and sometimes Christians, sadly, will sin. We will do things, we are tempted, and we fall into sin. Am I still a Christian? Yes, you are. Does God still love me? Yes, he still does. Be still and know that I am God. When you come to the Lord, when you trust in him, you will never be forsaken. Be still. You will never be moved, in other words. You're still with the Lord, right with God. For all eternity, in a million years, you'll still be with the Lord. In a billion years, a billion times a billion years, you will still be with the Lord. You'll never be moved. Be still. You are mine, the Lord says, when you trust in him. Be still and know that I am God. Isn't that? You can see why this is so comforting, can't you? Why this is a psalm of tremendous comfort to Martin Luther and to many others. Dear friends, do you know this God? Be still and know that I am God. Do you know him? Do you know his salvation? Do you know that when he died on the cross, it was to be your substitute? We have all sinned. None of us are good enough for God. But Christ has taken upon himself the punishment for our sin. Know that, believe in that, rejoice in that, and you shall be saved. Be still and know that I am God. Well, may the Lord bless these words to us.